When Patty Went to College by Jean Webster. Dedication to 234 Maine and the good times we have had there. Chapter 1. Peters, the Susceptible.
Paperweights, observed Patty, sucking an injured thumb, were evidently not made for driving in tacks. I wish I had a hammer.
This remark called forth no response, and Patty peered down from the top of the stepladder at her roommate, who was sitting on the floor dragging sofa pillows and curtains from a dry goods box.
"Priscilla," she begged, "you aren't doing anything useful. Go down and ask Peters for a hammer."
Priscilla rose reluctantly.
"I dare say 50 girls have already been after a hammer."
"Oh, he has a private one in his back pocket. Borrow that." "And Pris," Patty called after her over the transom,
"just tell him to send up a man to take that closet door off its hinges."
Patty, in the interval, sat down on the top step and surveyed the chaos beneath her. An oriental rush chair, very much out at the elbows, several miscellaneous chairs, two desks, a divan, a table, and two dry goods boxes radiated from the center of the room. The floor, as it showed through the interstices, was covered with a grass-green carpet, while the curtains and hangings were of a not very subdued crimson.
"One would scarcely," Patty remarked to the furniture in general, "call it a symphony in color."
A knock sounded on the door.
"Come in," she called.
A girl in a blue linen sailor suit, reaching down to her ankles and with a braid of hair hanging down her back, appeared in the doorway. Patty examined her in silence. The girl's eyes traveled around the room in some surprise and finally reached the top of the ladder.
"I'm a freshman," she began.
"My dear," murmured Patty, in a deprecatory tone, "I should have taken you for a senior, but," with a wave of her hand toward the nearest dry goods box, "come in and sit down. I need your advice. Now there are shades of green," she went on, as if continuing a conversation, "which are not so bad with red, but I ask you frankly if that shade of green would go with anything." The freshman looked at Patty, and looked at the carpet, and smiled dubiously.
"No," she admitted, "I don't believe I would."
"I knew you would say that," exclaimed Patty in a tone of relief. "Now, what would you advise to do with the carpet?" The freshman looked blank.
I don't know, unless you take it up," she stammered. "The very thing," said Patty. "I wonder we hadn't thought of it before."
Priscilla appeared at this point with the announcement, "Peters is the most suspicious man I ever knew." But she stopped uncertainly as she caught sight of the freshman.
"Priscilla," said Patty severely, "I hope you didn't divulge the fact that we are hanging the walls with tapestry."
This with a wave of her hand toward the printed cotton cloth dangling from the molding.
"I tried not to," said Priscilla guiltily, "but he read tapestry in my eyes. He had no sooner looked at me than he said, 'See here, miss, you know it's against the rules to hang curtains on the walls, and you mustn't put nails in the plastering, and I don't believe you need a hammer anyway.'"
"Disgusting creature," said Patty.
"But," continued Priscilla hastily, "I stopped and borrowed Georgie Merrill's hammer on my way back. Oh, I forgot," she added. "He says we can't take the closet door off its hinges, that as soon as we get ours off, 500 other young ladies will be wanting theirs off, and that it would take half a dozen men all summer to put them back again."
A portentous frown was gathering on Patty's brow, and the freshman, wishing to avert a possible domestic tragedy, inquired timidly,
"Who is Peters?"
"Peters," said Priscilla, "is a short, bow-legged gentleman with a red Van Dyke beard, whose technical title is janitor, but who is really a dictator. Everyone is afraid of him, even Prexy."
"I'm not," said Patty, "and," she added firmly, "that door is coming down whether he says so or not, so I suppose we shall have to do it ourselves."